American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Thursday, March 17th, 2005. Only one more day to go, and you get to have a weekend in which probably doesn't mean shit because nobody's got a five-day work week anymore. But still, the weekend is coming, and that's a good thing because this is Newsreel, your source for independent media and news that will give you the edge against the core political tyranny that is what? Trying to enslave you, but of course. And if you don't think the core political tyranny is trying to enslave you, what do you think it's trying to do? You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal, which you can find at sean_kennedy.livejournal.com, which is a lot easier than the other description. You can thank Sim for pointing out the obvious to me, because that's really his job. You know, it'll be time to turn the page when you hear me say, hey, things are looking up. Got a whole bunch of feedback here, understandably, because my email's back working. And now I've got the whole world in my hands. Let's see. Feedback. Dear Sean, I understand on your... This is a little bit longer, so I'll read it, though. It's a good point. I understand your stance on soldiers overseas. However, it seems to me that a lot of them are doing more than just trying to stay alive. Enough of them are doing very immoral acts for their own entertainment. Enough as to create quite a stir over here. Abu Ghraib is one thing, but having fun with it and taking pictures is another. I really think you ought to rethink some of the way you state things on the show. Yes, war is awful, and I don't think it's intellectually honest to support the troops just because they are in harm's way. The Nazis were in harm's way in World War II as well. Obvious and reflexive answer is the Nazis were in the wrong, but so is the U.S. in this case. Where does that leave the argument now? I'll get back to this. Every person has a choice. I don't think I can excuse the choices by soldiers who, after learning what is going on the ground, simply do not refuse to fight. Going to jail is a lot better than killing the citizens of a country, which by now even the most ignorant in America knows pose no threat. Any soldier who conscientiously continues to fight merely because they fear punishment of refusing to fight is no soldier in my mind. Killing is killing. Moral universality is a very basis of for all moral conduct, which is good for us. Is good for them. But I somehow think that the story would be a little different if Iraq was occupying America. Iraq is a war of aggression, which, by the Nuremberg trials, is the most heinous of crimes, carrying with it all the crimes that aggression entails. Men were hanging for aggression in World War II, but now we are to support the troops? Why not just be honest? Why not just come out and say it straight? We're going to do whatever we want because we are America, we are Nazi. I better stop there. That's from Ricky Rocket. Now, a couple of things here. First of all, we're talking about the difference between policy and the man on the ground. Now, the obvious reflective answer is the Nazis were in the wrong. So in this case, where does that leave the argument now and supporting the troops and all the rest of it? Now, you got to understand is that being a soldier myself and understanding how soldiers work on the ground, the soldier on the ground, okay, first of all, probably has a hell of a lot clearer picture of what's going on than we do over here. You've got to get that right off the top. Second of all, okay, the whole... moral high ground is a really funny thing. It's very easy for all us chairborne commandos over here to be sitting back and looking at what these guys are doing on the ground over there and saying, you know, oh, well, this whole war is wrong and the aggression is wrong, blah, 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 blah. Okay, yeah, that's total given that we need to get our guys out of there. That's not the point. But the point is that you have soldiers. Now, being a soldier isn't like going and playing tennis, okay? This is a very, very in-depth thing. This is something where... you, ideally, like the whole concept of it is you follow orders, you do as you are told, because being a soldier, you don't always get to, you know, camp in, outside in the sun. Sometimes you do have to walk in the rain. Sometimes, yeah, you are shooting people. And it's horrible. It's horrible, horrible stuff. And that's why we have soldiers, is because they do these kinds of things. Now, I am 110% behind supporting the troops, because despite the fact they don't have the luxury to sit back and go, well, I don't know if I feel like following that order. I don't know if that's really, you know, the case of whether, how do I agree with this? These people are people of action. They must commit action and they must move forwards. Now, if they totally disagree with everything that's going on, yeah, they should be able to leave. They should be able to get out of there, I think. You know, I don't believe in slavery. I don't think it's a very good idea. And every person does not have a choice. And morality is directly related to your economic status. If we were all starving to death over here, okay, you can bet we'd be knifing each other in the back to get, you know, the daily food supply. Don't shit yourself. This moral high ground that everybody talks about is a myth. It doesn't exist. Okay, the world is a very cold and very hard place. And a lot of people don't like to accept that. We don't want to hear that. Oh, well, you know, we should all be getting along really, really well. Can you show me one country in the world that does that? Can you show me one country that, you know, extends itself to, you know, just love everyone and opens its doors to everybody and they never have any sort of, you know, hidden agenda? No, it doesn't happen, okay? This is the really real world. Now, killing is killing. And for these people to be over there and you know, if they're over there and you've got men on the ground and they're in a village or something like that. Now, the last thing these guys want, okay, if you think the soldiers are sitting in their tanks going, hey, man, let's geek this bitch over here, there are probably a few doing that. But those are young and inexperienced men, A, or B, they're mentally deranged. And it's very, very difficult to get large sections of men to just continuously commit heinous, heinous war crimes because there are, like, the modern soldier is a thinking man. Back in the Second World War, when you're talking about these heinous war crimes, like, you got to understand that Hitler was shooting up his troops with meth, you know, like, they were all doing methamphetamines. That's how he was able to do the lightning war and spread across Europe, okay? We do not have all the picture of what is happening on the ground over there. We do not understand the culture. We do not understand what the troops face on a day-to-day basis. They are under a constant level of stress that we cannot fathom, okay? So, first of all, if you are angry with the war, which a lot of people are, I am as well, okay, and you think that it's all Nazi and everything, that's fine, okay, you direct it at the head of the serpent, okay, do not attack the body. The military is merely following orders. And people go, well, they're just following orders, you know. Well, it's a difference between, you know, when you have the Nuremberg trials where you've got men, women, and children in camps and they're putting them through gas chambers, to you have people charging, you know, roadblocks and stuff. There's quite a difference there. And again, all of this, we are subject to just what the media tells us. And that's why I do the shows, because we're kind of trying to get the truth out here and trying to see what's going on. I, with unequivocally, support the troops on the ground. I hope that they stay alive. I hope that they, you know, you got to do what you got to do to make it happen, you know. And that's a horrible thing. But that's why war sucks. So, you know, for all of us over here, you know, Ricky, I understand your statement there, buddy. You know, I see what you're saying, and you've got your right to think that. But, you know, for God's sakes, it don't take it out on the troops, because you don't know. You got to be there and you got to see that to know what's going on. You don't understand what it's like to be involved in a scenario like that. And it's not, we don't have the luxury as soldiers to sit back and go, well, I don't agree with this and la, 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 la. Because there's a lot of shit. You're in a war, Jack. And there's shit goes on in war that, you know, what happens in the desert stays in the desert, and that's it. And people don't want to hear that. People do not want to hear that. No, 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 that's wrong. Well, dude, that's been happening since the dawn of fucking time. And again, this is why war is horrible. War is hell. That isn't just a catchy little phrase. War is fucking horrible, because in order to succeed in war, you become war. You become savage and destructive and violent and aggressive, and you have no mercy, and it's very, very savage on the ground when in battle. Now, when you're occupying an area, blah, 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 and you have to, you know, winning of hearts and minds and all that stuff, sure, you know, you can lax up a bit, but, you know, these guys are in levels of pressure that we can't possibly hope to understand. So for us to sit back here, and for me in my comfy little chair here, and you wherever you are, and everyone to, you know, be listening on our little computers and eating our pizza pockets and talking about how shitty these guys are for doing what they're told, well, you know, I disagree with their orders, but I marvel at the men who carry those orders out, because they are, in fact, you know, what the backbone of any culture is based upon. You know, I would judge any culture by the level and quality of its soldier and the level and quality of its woman. That would be my particular stance. A lot of people probably call me sexist and a bigot and everything else, but that's okay. I got broad shoulders. But thanks for your input there, Ricky. That's why we got the show. Pig Monkey sent me this story, which was a report. It was a report he got, and it was a segment from an attorney, and he wrote this. He says, now I'm looking for confirmation on this, so hear me out, but check this out. As an attorney practicing in the areas of international business and immigration law, it has come to my attention through discussions with other attorneys that the Department of Homeland Security is pulling aside, quote-unquote, selected aliens at entry checkpoints and bringing them into separate rooms, which contains a Department of Homeland Security computer connected to the internet. Weird. The aliens, immigrants and whatnot, are told to bring up their various email accounts on the screen and enter their passwords. The Department of Homeland Security then reads the emails for information pertaining to possible unauthorized work and other matters and questions the aliens on these findings. Wow. Of course, no attorney can be present at these interrogations. People traveling to the U.S. should be aware that there's a possibility of a search of them by the Department of Homeland Security, which now means a search of their email accounts. Now, we're waiting for more info on this, but that's something to note, because that doesn't seem so far-fetched that it would be impossible. So at this stage of the game, I don't think you should have web accessible mail, or you just claim that you don't have email or something like that, or maybe set up dummy email accounts where you send a bunch of email so it looks like it's current. You just send a bunch of email to a Netscape email address or a Hotmail email address. And that way you go into the room. I have two email accounts, one at Netscape, one at Hotmail. You check them. There's nothing there. And then you're good to go. That would be the way to do that. Don't say I don't have email accounts, because they're not going to believe it, especially if you're carrying high tech gear. So I would have dummy email accounts set up to, circumvent this, just sort of like my own personal guideline. That's the way I'd handle that. Not that, I feel that you should be doing anything, covert in the United States, but I kind of disagree with someone being able to search your email. That's bullshit. I mean, this is privacy, it's all private stuff. So it's kind of a strange one when you talk about, Homeland Security, because as people come into the United States, they're knocking on your door. If you got a guest coming into your house, you'd like to see what they're bringing with them. But it could be argued that if it's on the internet, they're not bringing it with them, because it's everywhere. It's like in another dimension. It's like outside of space-time. You know what I mean? That's what the internet is. So kind of like a bizarre sense of time travel. We could go on about that for quite some time. But let's get going forward. Now, it's time to get serious in England. For anyone out there who's English or British or any of you guys in the UK, buddy, there's not too many rights left that you can lose. So if you're not thinking about espionage as a personal hobby for security purposes, maybe that might be something you might want to look at in the next little while. Why? Because British record companies applauded Friday. Now, this is last Friday's ruling in a court that gave them the right to obtain the identities of people who use file-sharing programs from internet service providers. So the court ruled that ISPs just hand over names of everyone using any peer-to-peer file-sharing program. The labels were looking for the identities of 31 persons suspected of uploading large numbers of illegal files onto various peer-to-peer services. Quote, today's result is a blow for illegal uploaders who believe that the law simply does not apply to them, end quote. Jeffrey Taylor, general counsel for the British phonographic industry in the music trade groups, told reporters, well, Jeff Taylor, you need to relax just a little bit, because in actuality, we're doing more for the British phonographic industry than you are, so you should have a nice big cup of shut the fuck up. ISPs will have 2 full weeks to comply with the High Court ruling. So you got 2 full weeks to hand over all your fucking data. According to the BPI lawyers, when the names are received, they plan to start contacting the defendants and offer to settle out of court if possible. Fuck you, we're going to court. That's how I would go. That's what was told to me at DEF CON. Now, the thing is DEF CON is in Las Vegas. This is in England. In England, I think that we should probably get some people looking really hard at the law, see how much privacy they have. But England doesn't have any privacy. They have no Charter of Rights. They have nothing over there. And it's getting more and more Gattaca every fucking day. So I would probably say that, if you could, I just deny it flatly, dump and wipe, encrypt and deny, fuck it. We think you did this. You got to prove that I did that, Jack. Well, the ISP gave us a name. The ISP is an error. ISP is an error. I don't have any data. Here's my computer. Search it. Go ahead. Well, this has gone through a shredder. Yeah, I practice prominent security. So then it turns into a problem, blah, 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 go from there. So that's just my, maybe I'm wrong there. Maybe someone in the UK could help me out with a better idea. But that's what my initial instinct would be. Maybe it's overreactive, but, hey, I'm just trying to stay out of fucking jail. The approach is similar to ones used in the United States by the RIAA. Taylor said that through their initial case with P2P, they found out that file sharers come from all walks of life. They're everywhere. record labels monitor file swapping on networks by recording the IP addresses of users sharing copyrighted content. So if you IP spoof, well, you know, after obtaining this information, they will either approach the ISP or go to court to obtain the identity of that user. So if you IP spoof, which, you know, I don't know anything about IP spoofing. Maybe there's a way I could, you know, someone could drop me an email with some, maybe is there a program that you have to use to do that, or what do you use to do that? I'm just curious. You know, it sounds, you know, I don't claim to be any kind of a high-grade hacker. As a matter of fact, I have no computer hacking skills whatsoever. I can barely turn this goddamn thing on. Yes, it's true. So when the police come to my house, believe you me, I have no idea what's going on with these computers. I just, you know, kind of come in here and work. I have no idea. Yeah, I'm pretty much stupid. That's me. But, yeah, it'd be interesting to learn a little bit more about that IP spoofing thing. I mean, if I were to get off my ass and actually look for 10 minutes on the web, I'm sure I could come up with something. But, you know, I'm busy. And, of course, story number 4. Here it comes. Now, this is something that came down yesterday and is absolutely, well, it'd be 2 days ago by the time you hear this, which is just terrifying to me for obvious reasons. China's top legislative body has approved a resolution that authorizes Beijing to use military force to prevent Taiwan from declaring its independence. The measure, passed on Monday by the National People's Congress, represents the common will and strong determination of the Chinese people to safeguard the territorial integrity. Well, that's some dangerous talk. It's of China, said NPC Chairman Wu Bangu said. Wu said that this measure would promote the peaceful reunification and contain secessionist forces in Taiwan, end quote, with China's ruling, Communist Party considers a renegade province. The law allows China's State Council and Central Military Commission to move against any formal secession attempt by Taiwan as a last resort, should chances for peaceful reunification be completely exhausted. But Chinese Premier Wen Jiabao said the new legislation is not a war bill, even though it quite clearly states that if they try to secede, they're going to go to war. This is a law advancing peaceful unification between the sides. It is not targeted at the people of Taiwan, nor is it a war bill, Wen said at a news conference shortly after the law was passed. Bullshit, Jack. China is long threatened to take military action to prevent Taiwan from declaring formal independence, and now all the ducks are in a row to do just that. Now, I say that there's going to be two things going to happen here. One, Taiwan is going to just say, fuck it, okay, we're going to stay part of China, which would be the best thing to do. It's unfortunate. Well, it's unfair. There is no such thing as fair. Fair is a human concept. It is not fair that the weak and the injured are eaten by wolves, yet it happens every fucking day. So, that would be the most peaceful and least loss of life. They deny their rights and keep their lives. That's what happens. Okay? But I think there will be a war, because I don't think the people of Taiwan will want to lose their liberty. I think that they will go to war with that. And I think America will back China, and there will be war over there. And America will back China. Well, pardon me, will not back China. Will back Taiwan. America will back Taiwan. Why? Because China really hasn't been fucking with anyone in a long time. They've just been sitting there growing stronger, growing stronger, growing stronger. While America, the big hyperpower, has been spreading itself out, spreading itself thin. So is England. Russia's still in kind of a... Russia's been laying back, trying to build itself up too, but they're still in a little bit of problems, okay? So China's just been biding its time, using resources, biding its time, biding its time. So I think that America is very concerned about China, one, and it would be helpful for America for China to be in a war, because eventually America and China are going to go at it. This is inevitable. It's going to happen. We're two totally opposite cultures with totally different fundamental beliefs. So eventually, you know that America and China are going to go toe-to-toe. So rather than do it on American soil and have American troops die in the battle, what they're going to do is they're going to back the Taiwanese, so all the Taiwanese troops get to die in battle versus China, causing, you know, huge problems for the Chinese government, massive loss of resources, and it kicks them down a notch, so it kind of brings everything back to a level playing field. That's what I feel is going to happen in Taiwan. Now, also, you got to bear in mind that there's some crazy shit going on with Lebanon and Syria, and there's a whole bunch of opportunities here for someone to drop a bomb somewhere, and it's very, very scary right now in the world state of affairs. But this shit with China and Taiwan, if this isn't on the forefront of your mind, it should be. I do not believe America... George Bush has done some crazy things. He's crazy like a fox. I mean, some of his policies, you know, he doesn't give a shit about the troops, so he's just going for big business. And I think that I don't see any big business interests in backing Taiwan, but I think there are some political reasons to back Taiwan. So I do not believe George will send troops to support the Taiwanese. Don't think so. Rule number one, do not fight a land war in Asia. Got to bear in mind that China's got a 2.5 million man army. Okay, that is a shitload of guys with guns. So 2.5 million man army can do a shitload of damage in a land war. So the last thing that we want to do is commit troops to an engagement like that for the liberty of a country like Taiwan. Now, there is a lot of tech and manufacturing that comes out of Taiwan, which is a reason why the core political could apply pressure saying, no, we got to keep Taiwan. But realistically, to keep with the core political side of things, they don't have any loyalty to the Taiwanese people. So what they'll probably do is just pull the fuck out, go to some other third world shithole and set up slave labor camps in those places and let the Taiwanese people suffer, taking away their economy. And eventually they'll be forced to knuckle under to the Chinese if America doesn't back them or another nation doesn't back them. It could be possible that Russia could back the Taiwanese too, because Russia and China do not get along very well at all. So that's, you know, we're talking about real world risk going on here. And it's something we have to look at with a bloody-minded concept. You may as well take all the concepts of morality, you know, and the Disney shit and throw them right out the fucking window, because realistically, we're in a very meat locker kind of stage of existence right now. And people go, well, Sean, you know, that's really brutal that you'd say that. You're advocating war crimes. I'm doing nothing of the sort. I do not believe that war crimes should exist. And I think the person most concerned about war crimes is generally the soldier on the ground, because he knows what's a war crime and he knows what's not. Okay, if you've got a guy that you capture in theater on the ground, let me throw a scenario at you. Okay, you have basic knowledge of the Iraqi language. Okay, and you're leading a section of guys. Okay, and there is a spotter and a sniper. Let's just say this is kind of a strange scenario. So you see that there's an Iraqi soldier. The Iraqi soldier is talking to someone on a handset radio, on a cell phone. After he talks to someone, you see one of your soldiers get hit. You realize the man is talking to the sniper. So you shoot the... You have no idea where the sniper is, by the way, because that's what a good sniper does. You never have his location. So you shoot the Iraqi guy in the leg. You wing the motherfucker. You get over there. Okay, he's all like, aye, whatever. You shoot him in the arm so he can't use his rifle. You get a hold of this fucking guy. And you're asking him where the sniper is. Now, the guy's not going to tell you where the sniper is, because that's his bread and butter. So you got a hold of this fucker. Your men are under fire, and he won't tell you where the sniper is. So what are you going to do? I'll tell you what you'll do if you're a soldier. You're going to find out where the fuck that sniper is. Me, personally, I'd take out my knife and find out where that sniper is. That's just me. Why? Because my men's lives are more important than his life. That's how it works. Team, mission, self. Or pardon me, mission team self. That's what they're taught. Mission team self. This is a very, you know, kind of Budo concept. You know, it's fairly Bushido, and it's horrible. And this is what war is, and people need to realize that this is why there's so many protests against wars. Once the war is on, it's useless to protest. Really, it is. I mean, it's okay to protest to get your people the fuck out, but don't spit on any soldiers, because they're just following orders. It really bugs me when people do shit like that. It just makes me nuts, because it shows a complete lack of understanding. And furthermore, a great many people, you know, they have the right to their own opinion, but how would you feel if the soldiers were kicking in your doors or spitting on you in the street, calling you a peace-loving fuck? You know, I mean, it and yes, it would be a different story if Iraq was occupying the United States. Yes, it would be a different story, but that's what war is. It's fucking horrible, and I'm sorry. And if you think the war isn't like that, not everyone's going to play by the rules. You need to get your head out of the sand. Sorry, but it's the truth. Now, there's a huge push for RFID. You want to talk about the fast track of RFID? Here we go. A group of Republican U.S. senators said they will work to ensure that RFID deployment stays free of regulation, according to a new policy platform that has already won the support of RFID technology and retail organizations, while drawing concern for privacy groups. So all the Republicans have jumped on board with this RFID technology, and they're not railroading this, okay? They've put in the C-130 after thrusters on this fucker, and they let it go. This thing is moving at subsonic speed here. Or, pardon me, supersonic speed. At a press conference on Wednesday, the State Republican High Tech Task Force, Jesus, unveiled a list of 40 policy proposals, with RFID winning a special mention in the category dealing with the group's plans for protecting privacy in e-commerce. The announcement said that the Republican senators would protect exciting new technologies from premature regulation or legislation in search of a problem. Now, there's a line. RFID holds tremendous promise for our economy, including military logistics and commercial inventory efficiencies, and should not be saddled with premature regulation. No, no, let's just deploy this shit, worry about the problems later. Privacy group Caspian reacted to the agenda by saying it was telling to the task force decided to highlight RFID as a privacy issue and not as an issue of eliminating barriers to innovation or promoting education and technology, two other categories covered by the policy proposal. Caspian believes the group's agenda shows a positive bias towards RFID while ignoring problems already raised regarding its implementation in consumer privacy. Yeah, who gives a shit about consumer privacy? This is post-9/11, don't you know? This is a very pro-industry statement, and it does raise concerns, says Catherine Albright, founder of and director of Caspian. If all it said was RFID should not be burdened with regulations prematurely, that would be fine. But exciting new technologies is a pretty loaded term. No shit. So we've got all these Republicans jumping on board saying, oh, yeah, we're going to be doing RFID. Isn't it fucking great? Blah, 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 blah. Let's just ramrod this through. Don't worry about any regulation. Let's just get it out there to the people. Okay, well, that's fine, but, you know, realistically, it's I guess this is all part of the Republican idea. It's easier to beg forgiveness than ask permission. So, you know, whatever. Now, another classic case of this, I feel. Now, I'm going to read this particular story out, and you can, I'll give you my take on it and tell you what I think. A radical Egyptian cleric. This isn't just some priest. This is a radical Egyptian cleric known as Abu Omar was walking to Milan Mosque for a noon prayer on February 2003. When he was grabbed on the sidewalk by two men, sprayed in the face with chemicals, and stuffed into a van, he hasn't been seen since. Milan investigators, however, appear to be closely identifying his kidnappers. Oh, pardon me. Milan investigators, however, appear to be close to identifying his kidnappers. Last month, officials showed up at Aviano Air Force Base in northern Italy and demanded records for any American planes that had flown into or out of the joint U.S.-Italian military installation around the time of the abduction. They also asked for logs and vehicles that had entered the base. Italian authorities suspect the Egyptian was a target of a CIA-sponsored operation known as Rendition. They got the name of the operation, in which terrorism suspects are forcibly taken for interrogation to countries where torture is practiced. Nasty. An Italian police opened a missing persons investigation, but the case stalled for more than a year. In April 2004, Nasser's wife unexpectedly received a telephone call from her husband. He told her he'd been kidnapped and taken to the U.S. airbase in Italy. He said he was then flown to another U.S. base before taken to Cairo. The call was recorded by Italian police who had continued to wiretap on Nasser's home's telephone. Although the transcripts have not been made public, Nasser's colleagues at the mosque had reported being tortured and kept naked in sub-freezing temperatures in a prison in Cairo. During the phone call, Nasser told his wife that he'd been let out of prison in Egypt but remained under house arrest. His relatives said they believe he was imprisoned again shortly after when the news of the recorded conversation was reported by Italian newspapers. Okay, so what we got here is we have a radical cleric. Now, this is a radical cleric. Now, as we all know, these radical clerics are, they're not really very nice people in the whole Western scheme of things. These are people who believe emphatically that you, me, everyone else on the ground over here, we're actually not even human fucking beings. Okay, these people believe that we are, in fact, demons sent by some outworld entity to destroy the world. We are, in fact, the great white Satan. And these same radical clerics are the crowd that's extolling the virtues of slitting our throats in our sleep. Okay, that's their line. That's their policy. And if you think I'm not telling the truth here, okay, like, take a look at that. These are the same guys who, you know, are teaching children to strap bombs on their chest and blow themselves up. Okay, that's savagely brutal cult doctrine. Now, when you teach that and preach that, you know, this race over here, okay, they're a horrible, horrible nation. We need to destroy them, kill them utterly. We need to drive them into the earth. We need to grind their bones to make our bread. We need to put all of them to the sword without fail. Wah, 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 wah. Okay, they're going off like this, all right? And the CIA goes, hey, you know, this cleric over here, he's obviously got ties. We've done our homework. We know that he's in support with groups that are planning to do terrorist acts, which are going to kill our people. Okay, this is life-threatening shit here. So what are we going to do? Are we going to sit back and we're going to go, you know, forget it, who cares? No. We're going to go over there, we're going to grab this motherfucker, and we're going to get the information we need out of him using any means necessary. As far as I'm concerned, this is a completely legitimate espionage operation. They weren't fishing. They had a target. They went into a foreign country. They grabbed him. They got the fuck out of the country, and now they're extracting information from him. If the worst he's got to say is that he was stripped naked and thrown into a cold cell, he's doing fine. Okay? He's got no fucking problems. We do worse to our recruits than we did to this guy. So don't go handing me, oh, he was tortured, he was tortured. According to this, he just said, in his own words, in a fucking phone call to his wife, I was tortured, I was stripped naked and thrown into a cell. What, you get smacked around a bit? Huh? Somebody, slap you around a bit or whatever? Is that what the problem is here? Meanwhile, you're talking about, you know, murdering American children and teaching people to kill more people in cells and such. You know, everyone is really quick to take the side, oh, these poor people getting tortured, these poor people who are, you know, oh, they're terrible, you know, that they were forced to stand naked and blah, blah, blah. These guys, okay, given half a second, want to kill you. They would kill as many white North American people as they could get their hands on. They want you dead. They're not concerned about rights or morality because they're all ordained by their God. You got to bear this in mind. This is the enemy. This is what you're fighting against. Now, granted, you know, not every, you know, man, woman, and child on the ground in Iraq is like that. There's a lot of innocent people. A lot of people went to this mosque who didn't believe this guy, but they're going there because it's their religion and all the rest of it. Granted, but the CIA didn't go in there and gas the whole fucking mosque. They grabbed one guy, very tactically, got him the fuck out, and now they're questioning him. As far as I'm concerned, this was a totally legit espionage mission, and that's what the taxpayers' dollars pay for, is to make sure that we keep the nameless down on the death toll. That's their function. And every time, if you know, killing one saves 50, it's a fucking bargain. That is the real world, and we have to come to the, you know, the understanding about that. I don't care how much you whine, how much you bitch, it's not going to change the truth of war. That's how it is. Now, researchers in Canada are really concerned because it seems that reverse engineering is now criminal engineering. Researchers in Canada who make it their job to find holes and glitches in digital security products are worried that proposed anti-circumvention amendments to federal copyright legislation will undermine their livelihood and lower the bar on digital protection. Because, of course, you've got people who, in order to find flaws, to fix the flaws, people give them a chunk of software, what have you, and then, you know, they have to go over and figure out what the fuck's going on, so they, you know, they reverse engineer it, find all loopholes. But apparently, in my beautiful homeland here, we've got laws in place that are saying you can't do that anymore, which is dumb. Legal protection for so-called technological protection measures is the equivalent of making screwdrivers illegal because they can be used to break and enter, argue executives of 12 software and security companies in a letter sent this week to Industry Minister David Emerson and Heritage Minister Lisa Frulla. Okay, you cannot get rid of reverse engineering. If you make it illegal, that's a nice try. But, you know, unfortunately, you have to keep doing this because no matter how illegal you make it, that's nice. But it's pretty hard to prove that someone reverse engineered something, for starters. And if you make it illegal, only criminals will do it. And therefore, the good guys, a.k.a. the security industry, will not be able to do this. Good legislation targets the illegal act, not the legal tools that the crook might use. These are tools like Satan and things like that that have been published in the past. Emerson and Frulla, both facing heavy lobbying from the music industry and other owners of intellectual property, are jointly preparing a copyright reform package that will satisfy Canada's commitment under the World Intellectual Property Organization's Internet Treaties. Part of the proposal is to grant legal protection to any technological measure used by an owner of intellectual property that aims to safeguard their copyright. For example, researchers could find themselves in violation of law by looking for a weakness in an encrypted product by means to protect their music on a digital file or compact disc. The security industry, which exists to discover and then offer fixes for vulnerabilities, is worried that amendments to Copyright Act would create a liability chill and ultimately stifle innovation. Security companies are in the circumvention business, said Michael Geist, an internet law professor at the University of Ottawa. There's been years of discussions on this copyright reform, and no one has bothered to ask these guys what they think, which is odd. You know, you get these guys, another prime example case of people who have no idea what the fuck they're talking about, trying to make up policy because everyone's afraid to admit that they don't know. We have the tools of communication available to us around the world that we can talk to people who have experience, yet we do not do this because of why. Now, this is the big question I have, is why don't they, you know, ask the people in the industry? Is it an ego thing? Is it an alternative agenda thing? I don't know. I don't understand it. It's very, very odd to me, and I find it really disturbing. more disturbing than that is yet another example of the core political gods destroying everyday people. A French court has ordered fashion designer Milka Budimir, whose name I'm probably fucking up, to hand over her website to the Kraft Foods Company, which owns Milka brand chocolate. Judges said the U.S. giant Kraft Foods was entitled to the www.milka.fr website because it had owned the brand long before Mrs. Budimir, 58, was born. Her lawyer said it was regrettable that the rights of a brand had triumphed over the rights of an individual. Now, this is just, you know, obviously Kraft is going to throw, you know, just a sick amount of money at their lawyers and sick them on this poor woman who's a designer, okay? Ms. Budimir now has a month to comply with the order, where her rights, I mean, a Kraft isn't a person, it's a god. Realistically, tell me Kraft Foods is not a god. They have all, like, all these corporate, like Monsanto and Starbucks. They're not people. That's not a group that you can point at and say, there it is. There's the building where that resides in. There's many buildings, which are now these office structures. If they're not temples and churches, I don't know what is. And they all worship, you know, Kraft. And the reward for worship is what? It's money. You know, pray to Kraft, you get the cash. And now, you know, it's turning into a religious war over things like words and names and things like that. I mean, why not just charge her with heresy and be fucking done with it? The court said that by reserving and using the domain name Milka.fr, Miss Milka Budimir made unwarranted use of the Milka brand name owned by Kraft Foods. Kraft had suggested that Miss Budimir launch a new website under the domain name www.milkacouture.french, French news agency AFP reported. Miss Budimir's lawyer said that his client, who had suffered health problems since the start of the case, may issue appeals against the court ruling. Now, you got to bear in mind, what is the stress involved with you being a designer in this little shop? If you look at the picture, you can see her little store there. Okay, she's got, you know what, a couple thousand square feet where she's, you know, trying to eke out a living as a designer. And along comes Kraft Foods, which is, you know, pretty much the core political god. You know, you got Kraft Foods is just monstrous, the power that they have. And they decide to just take this from her, and there's nothing she could do. Is that fair? Is that fair? No, of course it's not fair. It's legal, but it's not fair. See, there's no more, you know, common sense. There's no more, you know, right and wrong. There's no more fair. It's just legal, and what's illegal? You see, we don't have, what we have is a legal system. We don't have a justice system. We have a legal system. And this is exactly the kind of thing that the core politicals are doing because their institutions have become, once again, like gods. If you look at the power that some of these crazy, crazy religious organizations had in the past, like you look at the power that the Pope had, you know, during the medieval times, and you look at the power that, say, oh, I don't know, Halliburton has now. It could be argued that Halliburton has more power than the Pope because of its potential to extort violence upon the world. I mean, you've got, you know, Blackwater and things like that, which, incidentally, I might be getting some very interesting news for some people who are involved with Blackwater. So wait out on that. Blackwater, of course, being the private military force with very close ties to Halliburton, maybe even a subdivision of Halliburton, I've heard. Unsubstantiated rumor there. Now, here's a good idea, because, of course, I hate bankers. I hate banks. I don't believe them. I think they're shit. But the launch of an eBay-style banking website this week, which users lend and borrow from each other, is the latest step in what is being seen as a quiet consumer revolution. Now, this is a very interesting idea, and I think it's something that we should probably look more into. Strip away the peripherals from eBay and those layers of functionality that help its millions of loyal users navigate the site, and what are you left with? A bunch of people selling things on one side, and another bunch of people on the other side wanting to buy. Unlike most of its competitors, eBay does not stock anything. It merely facilitates an exchange by putting a buyer and seller in contact with each other and for the privilege, taking a slice of commissions on each sale. The e-commerce circles is widely seen as a perfect business model, sort of a physical manifestation of the peer-to-peer networks, such as Kazaa, that allow online music sharing and movies. The bosses at eBay need not dirty their hands with tiresome things like stock management, distribution, and after-sale service. They leave that to us, the users. This week saw the latest twist on what has become as known as the local eBay model with some launches of Zopa, an online loan service that works in a similar way. Anyone with some spare cash can offer it up for a loan. Through Zopa, lenders set their own interest rates and can choose which borrowers to lend to based on their credit rating. Now, that's an interesting idea, but I mean, there's obviously a few security flaws here, in which case, you know, I set up an account, say that I've got a credit rating of such and such and such, take 2 years, build my credit rating up, go for this monster truck fucking loan, or a series of monster truck loans through false identities. I mean, the ability to commit fraud here is huge, and since it's a private bank, how do you enforce that, blah, blah, blah. So it's a great idea. I'm a little concerned with the execution and how that execution is going to occur, but it's a very, very good idea. Now, I don't know enough about banking to really make a firm call on that. And I'm sure that there's a lot of economics to say this is good or this is bad. If there's anyone out there that has a little bit more knowledge on this than I do, give me a short paragraph so I can throw it out in the feedback to let some of the listeners know where we're going with this. What's your take on that? I'd like to know, because I'm sure that there's a lot of university types who are taking economy and stuff like that who could give me some insight on something like this. Now, when is bullying legitimate? The Army has been accused of failing in its handling of new recruits and allow bullying to go unreported. A report said to the MPs. The Commons Defense Select Committee suggests that creating an independent complaints panel looking at raising the minimum recruitment age to 18. The inquiry was sparked by the deaths of four recruits at Deep Cut Barracks in Surrey between 1995 and 2002. The family said that after the report, they still wanted a public inquiry. The report said, in the past, insufficient weight has been given to the issue of bullying, which led to a tolerance of, or at least insufficient action being taken against, bullying. Jim Collison, who lost his 17-year-old son, James, said when they had known what the training regime was like, they would not have let their son join up at such a young age. Well, what about you? What your son wanted, but that's not neither here nor there. It was a lengthy report. The committee said the armed forces perceived victims of bullying as weak, and we needed a change in culture. Now, I'm going to read that again. In a lengthy report, the committee said the armed forces perceived victims of bullying as weak and needed a change in culture. Let's see. Counselors should be available at training centers as recruits were often reluctant to discuss their concerns with the chain of command, it added. Members also pushed the Minister of Defense to bolster vetting procedures for civilian and military instructors to ensure cases like that of Leslie Skinner, convicted of 2004 of indecent assaults at Deep Cut, did not happen again. Now, this is a very interesting slope to be on here, this whole slippery slope of the bullying in the Army. Now, I was a victim of abuse when I was in the Army, okay? But, you are not training people, and understanding this is from a victim standpoint here, okay? You are not training people to be crossing guards. You are not training people to go out and, deliver papers or make coffee or whatever the hell it is that, you know, you do in your day-to-day life job. You're not training people for paperwork. You're not training people to be accountants. You're not training people to be lawyers. You're training people to be infantry. Now, I'm going to just talk about the combat arms here, okay, especially infantry. So we'll just stick to the infantry. Now, you're training people to be what? To be killers. This is what infantry people do, okay? This is the role of the infantry, is to close with and destroy the enemy. They are not police. They are not peacekeepers. Okay, these people are designed to go into hardened positions when all negotiations have failed and kill whatever they touch. This is their job. Now, in the training regime, there is two schools of thought on training, and the problem is with training is that everyone wants to, you know, as an instructor, you want to produce really hard-ass troops. But the problem is with basic training and marine training and things like that, the training program should not be, I think that there ought to be an option to opt out of the training program, run it sort of like a selection course, but don't give them unrealistic goals. Like when you have Navy SEALs, they go through this huge hell week and selection process, and the purpose of that is to find the strongest soldiers. This is the purpose of selection. Now, with Marine basic training, the purpose is not to find the strongest soldiers, but to create your base in which you can select your strongest soldiers from. So it's a training issue. You see what I'm saying? But there will be those who join, and I've worked with these people who have no place in being in the Army. It's not a good match. It's not a good fit. So you know what? They shouldn't be in the Army. You just simply remove them. If an instructor sees that a candidate is being bullied or doesn't have what it takes to cut the course, fuck the numbers, okay? He doesn't have to worry about the numbers. You get him off the course. Sorry, you failed the course. You failed the course because of these reasons, and you're gone. You're off. You can try again in a little while if you want. You can try again after you do these following things, get in better shape, you know, adjust your attitude, whatever the hell it is. But you're not going to be able to work it. So on one hand, I see that what they call bullying and all this sort of stuff, there's a certain hardening which occurs because the North American people are pretty fucking weak, generally. We don't have any concept of what, you know, the real violent world is like and what goes on in third world nations and the warlord status of most of the planet. So we're very accustomed to, this is morally and ethically wrong and we can't be doing this because what about how the guy with the AK-47 feels? And I don't know, we should have a meeting. Okay, all these concepts don't work for the soldier, because by the time the soldier's employed, okay, those concepts should have been, I state again, should have been exhausted. Not always, they are not always exhausted, but they should have been. So when the soldier is deployed, the soldier does not decide whether or not he's going to engage a target. The soldier is told whether or not he's going to engage a target. Sometimes he has to make the call on the ground or whether or not he's going to blow someone off the backstop. But generally, you know, I mean, it's that whole feel-good, you're okay, I'm okay thing doesn't work with combat arms trades. Now, if you got people training to be line cooks and they're getting bullied all to hell, you know, just being abused, there's a very huge difference between selection, abuse, and training. And yes, abuse is a serious problem. And you have to make sure that you can train these people. If someone's having emotional problems, they had emotional issues before they joined the Army, then perhaps there could be a rehabilitation course to prepare them for the Army. You know, the instructors know. They've done it a million fucking times. They know exactly who's going to make it and who's not. You know, somebody's from Bohunk, Iowa or whatever, and they show up, and, you know, they're shaking on the parade square. They don't know what they're doing. They're obviously terrified, you know, and they're gonna turn into the Gomer Pyle guy from Full Metal Jacket. Okay, well, that guy should be removed from the platoon so that you can keep the unit together, so you can have unit cohesion. Just remove them. All right, run it very similar. This training, I believe, should be run very similar to the Starship Troopers model. Okay, Robert Heinlein came up with some brilliant ideas for training, and I think they should be implemented in order to upgrade the training. Don't try to make, you know, everyone get through basic training, because it's not about everyone getting through basic training. It's about having a strong military. That's the point. That's why women shouldn't be in the combat arms. Goes on and on from there. I mean, this is what has been determined not by opinion and not by moral, conversation. This has been determined by fact and by experience in battle. That is why you want to leave the training to the military and have the checksums for things like abuse. It's a tragedy that these people died. Don't get me wrong. And yes, I think there should be an inquiry to find that out. But don't swing the pendulum too far the other way. Otherwise, your armed forces will suffer for that. Because you can bank that these terrorist nations that are running these psycho fucking armies running around strapping bombs on their chests, you can bank that they don't have an I'm okay, you're okay policy. You know, somebody fucks up in one of their camps, they get shot. That's on the downside. If they're on the upside, maybe they get tortured, you know, fucked in the ass and thrown out into the desert or whatever. I don't know what their policies are. But if you're going to be training elite soldiers, you have to be able to factor out people who are not going to be able to hack it. That's just the truth. And I'm not advocating abuse now, but I'm just saying that you want to be real careful with the regulations you put on military training. Now, more about division on the home front. This is classic examples of shit that pisses me off. United Auto Workers say Marine reservists should show a little more Semper Fi if they want to use the union's parking lot. The Marine Corps motto means always faithful. But the union says some reservists working out of a base on Jefferson Avenue in Detroit have been decidedly unfaithful to their fellow Americans by driving import cars and trucks. So the UAW International will no longer allow members of the 1st Battalion, 24th Marines, to park at Solidarity House if they're driving foreign cars or displaying pro-President Bush bumper stickers. That is totally fucking insane. That is, you want to talk about bullying? That is bullying, right there. While reservists certainly have the right to drive non-union-made vehicles and display bumper stickers touting the most anti-worker, anti-union presence since the 1920s, that doesn't mean they have the right to park in a lot owned by the members of the UAW, the union said in a statement released Friday. So it's like, we don't like you, we don't like your car, so you're not allowed to be here. Wow, waited to have division. You know, shocked and disappointed, the Marines are pulling out. You either support the Marines or you don't, said Lieutenant Colonel Joe Rutledge, which, again, that statement is just as asinine as the other one, but that's okay. Blind support is, like, I support the man on the ground. I don't give a fuck if he's a Marine, if he's Army, if he's a Ranger. I don't care. Okay, you are a soldier doing your duty, and I respect that immensely. Okay, but, and I do support the Marines, don't get me wrong. but you always do have to check some what's going on there. If the Marines are given poor orders and they carry out those orders, those are not the Marines' fault, okay? And I know because I've seen it from their perspective. That was from Lieutenant Colonel Joe Rutledge. Do you support the Marines or you don't? Well, that's pretty blanket, dude. Commanding officer of the battalion's active duty instructors. I'm telling my Marines that they're no longer parking there. Well, you know, I mean, what else is he going to do? He can't enforce the fact that they have to be able to park there, so he's got to respect it and move aside. But, you know, the United Auto Workers Union says they're a bunch of fucks, as far as I'm concerned. What an incredibly dickhead thing to do. Maybe these Marines can't afford domestic cars. Maybe they prefer foreign cars. So don't go, you know, waving. It's kind of funny that the United Auto Workers Union is hiding behind the ugly face of nationalism to promote car purchases. I mean, that's just fucked up as far as I'm concerned. So, you know, it's another example of using nationalism to create division at home over something so asinine. It's just crazy. Now, warning, this is a piece of vaporware, but it is pending. So I know I don't like reporting on vaporware, but here we go. It's a new tool for everyone. For the incredibly privacy conscious with those with something to hide, the Tag Zapper by West End Laboratories is a handheld device to wipe RFID transmitter to wipe clean RFID transmitting devices. I'll be completely honest and simply say I can't wait for the day I can just push my card through a scanner, select my payment method, and go, instead of waiting for a 15-year-old girl to try all six sides of the honey bunches of oats with almonds before finally realizing the UPC is always on the bottom. The concern with the RFID is that anyone with a reader will be able to decode the information on the tag, so potentially people could camp outside your house and determine what brand of soap you're using. Ha 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 ha. I love these, guys who really have no concern for privacy whatsoever. Either way, I hope they figure out a way to effectively ban those devices from my grocery store so I don't have to worry about RFID terrorists running amok and screwing up my next purchase. The Tag Zapper should be available probably by about the time it becomes relevant. Same vein, there are similar devices called the RFID Washer, which allows you to both detect and watch cleanse purge any offensive RFID tags you see fit. If someone could find out more information about this RFID jamming, maybe something on this RFID Washer, I'd like to check that out, and I'd definitely like to purchase one, because I don't like RFID tags, and I think that is a great tool that all of us could use. Some more news on pirate medical procedures. This is interesting. While scientists worldwide are studying stem cells, dozens of Russian clinics and beauty salons claim they're already using both adult and embryonic stem cells to treat everything from wrinkles to Parkinson's disease to impotence. Scientists warn that while stem cells are still being researched in laboratories, treatment by clinics claiming to use stem cells might cost patients their health and fortunes. Moreover, they say, though it's illegal, enforcement is lax and no one knows if injections patients are getting contain stem cells. Now, this is like about as cyberpunk as it gets, where people are traveling to Russia to get, you know, outside medical influence and support. This, I'd like to get more information on that. If we got anyone over there who's got information on the black market of stem cell research and black market research, I mean, because realistically, once this black market medical procedures come forefront, they're like, you know, we can knock 20 years off your age for 20 grand. I mean, wow, that's exciting stuff, and I'd like to know about that. Because after all, you know, it's a capitalist society, right? So who cares? We'll just spend money and do what we want. That's the big motto they got going on. I don't really agree with all that. I think there should be more checks and balances. And you're rolling some big dice if you crawl into some greasy office somewhere and let some guy jack you full of shit. But I'd still like to know about it. Daily Hack today is Hack 302, an explanation of the page hijack exploit using the 302 server redirects. This exploit allows any webmaster to have his own virtual page rank for terms that pages belong to another webmaster used to rank. Successfully employed, this technique will allow the offending webmaster, the hijacker, to displace the pages of the target in search engine results, and hence, A, cause search engine traffic to the target vanish to website, or B, further redirect traffic to another page of choice. Wow, what if that happened with Newsreel? And here's the intriguing part. The target, the hijacking webmaster, has absolutely no methods to stop this once this has taken place. That's right. Once hijacked, you cannot get your page back, and there's no methods that will work. That's some pretty interesting stuff, so if you're a webmaster out there, you might want to look into the security involved with that. That's a wild hack that we just found right there. And that's all I have for you today, but don't worry. I'll be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive in this crazy world we live in. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of those willing to stand up for free speech. Anonymous, Topek, Jesse, The Great Ghost, Drake, Anthony, Robert, Dual Parallel, Anonymous, Michael, Andrea, Derek, Jesse, Susan, Eric, Tech Freak, Kelly, Keith, Malcolm, Peter, Forley, Timor, Peter, Plasmonic Grid, Christopher, Rosalie, Richard, Matt, Greg, Weblife, Evan, David, Brian, Austin, Brian, Jonathan, Adam, Host Mojo, Mainframe, Mark, Jonathan, Trevor, Brandon, Hell Gone, Art Darmude, Brandon, Justin, Matthew, Lars, Eric, Anonymous, and Jason. And new subscribers this month to the show were Kevin, Steve, Philip, Steve, Charles, Matt, Brandon, Kevin, and Mark. Now, if you would like to keep the daily news broadcast on the air and listen to more of my highly educated opinions, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the Donate tab. /sarcasm. I wasn't being sarcastic about donating, though. But, hey, I've got just as much the right to my opinion as you do yours, and it's okay for us to disagree. Bear that in mind. Special thanks to some hard netrunners who got me these stories today. Thunder Spud, Polysci, Foulweir, Agent Bumble, Psychofish, Nodalee, Wandy, Brujo, Foulweir, Zarastra, Ricky Rocket, Fifi, Sylvanus, and Zizix. Very, very cool. No digital baptisms today, but if you need to be digitally baptized, you let me know. And thanks again to everyone for their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, check out the album Red Sonic Underwear by Peace, Love, and Pitbulls. So until tomorrow, everyone, that's what Server said. End of line.